Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales. and with me is my... and with me, as always, is my good friend, given a silly face for I don't know what reason, Aaron Chase.
Hi, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron.
Yep.
We have this... have this sort of studious, this pleasant intro that we normally do.
I know, but this is going to be a fun one.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, that's so optimistic of you.
Oh, God. You're making me concerned.
Well, set your expectations low.
Okay.
And then just exceed them. That's the idea.
Okay.
Maybe if I say this is going to be the worst thing ever,
oops,
and when it's only the second worst thing ever, you'll actually be pleasantly surprised.
Right under Potep.
It'll be better than Potop.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So,
as always,
yes,
we're counting down my top 500 favorite films of all time. Just my top 500 favorite. Not necessarily the best, just the ones I like. Talking about them, watching one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a few episodes in, quite a few.
Yeah.
And we're going to start this episode off with my number
448th. Hey! Finish the... past 450.
We are out of the 450s. We are past 50 films in.
Yeah.
We only have 448 left.
Easy.
So easy.
Yep.
We got this. In the bag. High five. So, my number 448. Director Hal Ashby's 1971 film, Harold and Maude.
Okay.
Which I'm hopeful you've heard about, at least.
I know I've heard that title, and I know nothing about it.
Okay. Well, it's another dark comedy from 1971. Just like a few episodes ago, we watched The Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
This is another dark comedy from that same year.
Mm-hmm.
Different filmmaker, different everything, really.
Mm-hmm.
Considered, really, a classic. The Hospital, not so much. It has a nice pedigree with the writer... and I quite like it. But this one is considered something of a at least a cult classic.
Okay.
Yeah. Directed by Hal Ashby, starring Bud Cort, probably the only thing I've seen him in, but Ruth Gordon. They're Harold and Maude.
Hmm.
It's a film about a young man, Harold, who is obsessed with death. Just completely obsessed with it. It comes from an affluent family. And he's just intrigued by the concept of death. I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
But he befriends, in a graveyard, an older woman named Maude, who has a zest for life. You know? She's lived a long life, and she's just all about living every day like it's your last. And she's just all about life, and he's this young man, old woman all about life, and this young man all about death.
Hmm.
And it's just their budding friendship, relationship... And it's a dark comedy, but there's a real warmth to it, a real sweetness that's very intriguing.
It sounds actually intriguing. That's strange. That's a really strange idea.
It is. It's a very unique film. I haven't seen anything quite like it.
Does it have that 71?
71.
Does it have that I'm assuming it does. I was gonna fucking stupid question. The 70s humor where I'm going to feel like, oh, you're telling a joke, but it's not funny anymore because it's 2020 or whatever year it is.
Been a while since I've seen it. I imagine that'll pop up a couple of times. But it's not like it's not a jokey film, if I recall. It's more like just the whole situation is just vaguely humorous.
Okay.
And the comedy comes from just these sort of this odd couple situation.
Was it received well by the audience at the time?
At the time, if I recall, not terribly.
So that makes it a cult classic.
Yeah, exactly. It got, I believe, middling reviews when it first came out. Upon reevaluation years down the road, it's hailed something of a landmark independent picture. Not really an independent picture, but certainly a low budget. It was based on the writer Colin Higgins' senior thesis project in college. He was originally going to direct it. But then the studio was like, you don't know what the hell you're doing. And they brought on Hal Ashby, but he allowed Colin Higgins to come on set and sort of learn by his example. Yeah, a little bit like that, which was kind of nice by him because Ashby was a well-regarded director.
Is that a normal thing for producers to do or studios to do?
I'm trying to think of another example of that. Not that exactly off the top of my head, but I see the logic behind
that,
it.
That actually seems like a good idea to always have the producer for the studio to be like, all right, we like this guy. Let's have him apprentice under this film.
It's normally, well, that was not the producer's idea. That was like a kind of a deal between the director, Hal Ashby, kind of like said, I want this kid.
Every producer should do that.
That would be nice.
Or director, whatever.
Instead, they're just giving these guys who make this little shoestring budget independent film the next big blockbuster sequel. Like Gareth Edwards doing Godzilla after he made Monsters. Josh Trank doing Chronicle. And then like, here's Fantastic Four.
Oh, I fucking love Chronicle.
Did you love Fantastic Four?
I didn't watch it. Are we talking about Fan4Stick?
We are talking about Fan4Stick.
Yeah, I didn't know.
There is a slight problem with giving a little indie director with little experience, especially in the big Hollywood blockbuster landscape, $150 million. And
I don't want to derail this, but from what
we already have.
Yeah, but from what I understand of Fan4Stick, they meddled into that shit. He had a vision that they fucked with, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's kind of part of it. I feel like there's this belief that, well, we're giving you this opportunity, you kind of just have to be a yes man. It's this weird dichotomy. You can't really
artist.
You can't bring, especially coming from like an indie background who is used to just kind of being their own boss and doing whatever they want, and then expecting them to be a yes man.
Right.
It's playing the game.
Yeah.
You gotta play the game.
We're derailed.
We are extremely derailed. Harold and Maude.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting film. I haven't seen it in a few years. I remember being maybe a touch slower than I would like it to be. And that's the case with a lot of films from the 70s. Just the pacing is very different. And sometimes it bothers me, sometimes it doesn't. This one didn't really bother me, but it was just probably a bit slower than I would like it to be.
So if you find it slow, I should be concerned. For myself.
And again, this was from a few years ago, and by a few years, I mean quite a few years ago, maybe. Yeah. So I was a younger man, and not nearly as tolerant as I once was. So I wouldn't necessarily...
Far more racist back then?
Pardon?
What? Race? Tolerant. I was making a... It's stupid. Please ignore me. I'm so sorry, Bryce. Okay.
It's an interesting film with some wonderful acting. I really love Ruth Gordon in this.
Yeah.
She's great. Yeah.
I'm not... Okay. So far, and I'm very scared for the next two. So far, I'm like, yeah, I could watch that and not be angry.
Well, don't be scared for the next two, because even if you hate the next two, you can always fall back on Harold and Maude.
Very positive.
So we're in a good place right now.
Yes.
Worst case scenario, we watch a movie that you're probably going to go, all right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. 400...
447.
Jesus Christ.
Is a very different film.
Okay.
Director Kevin Lima's 1995 film, a goofy movie.
No! Sorry, I'm so sorry.
You're peeking the mic, dude.
I know, I just want to watch that so bad. I just want to watch that so bad. No! Every time... I'm sorry, Bryce. Every time you have a movie where I've seen, I'm like, fuck, I want to watch. That's a good movie. That's a really good movie. Why is it so low?
I wouldn't call it a really good movie. I think it's a pretty good movie.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
It's pretty good. I do really enjoy it. It brings a lot of heart to the goofy character. a lot of like humanity to him, to this dog.
Yes.
And his relationship with his son. And that's probably my favorite thing, is it really gives Goofy a bit of an emotional arc and core.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, that character would not be able to, to hold a feature film.
No.
But they do just enough with him and his relationship with Max to make it just enough of an emotional investment to carry the story along. And the animation is fine, but damn it. Powerline?
Yeah.
Love that music.
Yeah.
Like, there's like two or three songs, the only two that I remember. Great. They're bangers.
They're so great. I'm glad you said banger. they're great. Like, I love that movie. I know we're not going to be able to watch it now. That sucks.
No.
So I'm going to gush while I can.
Gush.
I love that movie. It's so... It's a movie that is surprisingly well put together. It shouldn't be. It's one of those movies where it feels like, if you were to talk about the premise, Goofy and his son go on a road trip.
Straight to DVD nonsense.
Yeah. And it's not.
No.
They put heart into it. There's some quiet moments. I love every musical transition. There's weirdly dark.
Yeah, that whole, what is that? That possum sort of truck stop thing that they go to?
Oh, God, yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yes.
But also very creepy.
The scene where Goofy and Pete are in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm like, oh,
he's
my
talking
God.
About how Max...
loves him. Love versus respect.
Yeah.
That's a really impressive, I won't say deep, but like...
For this kind of film.
For this kind of film. Incredibly deep thing to point out. I love that movie, and I'm really sad that every time it's a movie I've seen, I'm like, fuck, I want to watch that movie. All right, okay, all right, I'm just gonna annoy myself.
Yeah, it's maybe a little too segmented for my taste. It's very vignette-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's a scene, and here's a scene, and here's a scene, and there's a lot of road trip movies that are kind of like that. But it's something that I don't necessarily like about the genre in general. I like it when a road trip movie is able to overcome that. And this one does fairly well because like, I like the characters, I like the music, I like the humor. But it's not like top tier Disney. Like I said, it's very vignette-y and it's just so focused, which is both a strength, like a positive and a negative. It's odd. It's at on one hand very focused on these characters, but also it's all these little side adventures. So it's kind of weird. It's a bit messy.
The Bigfoot thing felt weird.
Yes. And there's a few sequences like that that feel like this kind of thing that's just kind of stitched on.
Yeah.
But I still like it a lot. And that's why it is where it is on my list.
Okay, that's fair. I'm scared now. Because now I have one other option, and...
And that option is my number 446th favorite film of all time, director Richard Eyre's 2006 film... Notes on a Scandal. It is. It stars Dame Judi Dench and Cate Blanchett, and Bill Nye, who's in a great supporting role.
I'm sorry, the science guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
The actor Bill Nye.
Oh, okay, cool. That poor man. Okay.
Oh, it's weird. When I hear Bill Nye, I don't immediately think of the science guy. I think of this actor. He's in a lot of stuff, and you'll instantly recognize him.
Should I even look him up?
You can if you want.
Oh.
You know him.
He's a guy.
He is a guy. He does a very nice, it's a small role in this, but he does a lot with it. He is a very good performance.
He's not dead?
No, he is not.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's still pumping out good performances. Oh, yeah, Shaun of the Dead.
That's where I recognized him from. I like that guy.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's very good, and he's very good in this. They're all very good in this.
Are British actors better than American actors?
I feel like there's just a commitment to the art.
Yeah.
That comes from... I think they're all stage like actors. There's just something that comes from stage actors. If you're able to make that transition onto film, because sometimes it's hard. It's a completely different type of acting. But if you are able to make that transition from the stage to film, there's just a commitment to the art form, I feel like, that comes from a stage performance that serves them well.
The British seem to respect the craft more.
Even if they're doing like a schlocky film, and they'll take on a bunch of just like nonsense movies, but they'll give it their all.
Yeah, I respect that.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Is this movie a comedy?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
Oh, God.
Judi Dench and Cate Blanchett were both nominated for Best Actress for the film. It was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Musical Score. The acting across the board is phenomenal, especially the three that I just named. Oh, what's her name? Juno Temple, I think, is her name. She's in this. It's about Judi Dench, plays this teacher in this London high school in this sort of slummy area. Been there for years. And there's this new teacher, Cate Blanchett, who is just starting out. And Judi Dench becomes, spry, young, lovely art teacher.
Yeah.
And Judi Dench becomes somewhat obsessed with her.
Can you leave it at that?
I kind of want to leave it at that.
Okay. I'm far more interested in this than I am whatever the fuck.
Harold and Maude. Yeah. Don't call it whatever the fuck. It is Harold and Maude. It's a classic.
I'm far more interested in Notebooks of the Path of the Righteous.
Notes on a Scandal.
I'm so far... Okay. So far, I'm far more interested in Notes on a Scandal than I am with Harold and Maude.
Okay.
Part of that is the year.
Yeah.
And part of that is that it sounds like it was nominated for a lot of shit.
It was. And Harold and Maude, again, like I feel like it would have been... it's just like... It was...
Was it ahead of its time?
Maybe a little bit. It was just very different.
Yeah.
It feels like you're going to go with Notes on a Scandal.
Yeah.
So I'll spoil Harold and Maude just a smidge. Right. The relationship turns romantic between the young man and the old woman.
Hot.
And I feel like some people were just not quite ready for
that.
It's
the 70s.
But like again, somehow they were able to take that kind of like what would normally be very creepy, and it was very sweet. Like it was a very fine line they wrote. It's a very successful film, I find.
I think here's going to be here. I think okay. If the genders were reversed in Harold and Maude, would it still be sweet?
It would depend on the performances. Ruth Gordon is great as Maude.
Okay.
If you got an actor who was able to somehow pull that off like she was able to, maybe. Honestly, maybe.
Could you even picture actors replacing them that would work?
Like maybe Anthony Hopkins?
Fuck. Really? With
as an older man,
and what girl could pull that off with it without it seeming rapey?
Dakota Fanning? Elle Fanning. Her younger sister, Dakota Fanning's younger sister, Elle Fanning.
Elle Fanning.
E L L E. Fanning.
Elle Fanning.
According to Wikipedia, how old is she? Mary Elle Fanning is an American actress.
She's 22. And how old is Anthony Hopkins right now?
He's got to be pushing 80.
Oh my God. Was it that big of a difference?
There's a woman in her late 70s and a young man who's like 20.
Ooh. Okay. I can see the 70s not being... I can see now being creeped out by that.
It's a fine-ass line to walk, and somehow they do.
I'm going to say then... I'm still picking Notes on a Scandal.
Sure.
But... I gotta respect the move. That's balls to even try that.
To even try, and like I think if you saw it, and even if you didn't necessarily like it, I think you would agree that somehow they made it only slightly creepy.
It's impressive.
And more than creepy, sweet. They I feel very successful.
Okay. When in the hospital was what it was called?
The film we watched earlier, The Hospital, yes.
The Hospital. What is creepier, that not rape scene or the...
Oh, The Hospital rape scene is creepier.
That's impressive then. Okay.
Yeah, no, they... Because there's a sincerity that comes in Harold and Maude, and I feel like it was always just a bit...
creepy, just weird.
I didn't buy it in The Hospital. Like, I buy the rape, and I buy that they're in love... But, like, separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
When they are together, when the rape and the love go hand in hand, like, I don't buy them together.
Right.
I buy the relationship in Harold and Maude.
Okay. Then I would like to watch Notes on a Scandal.
That's fine. I'm going to add Harold and Maude to the To Watch Later list, though. I'm keeping track of the films that you seem kind of interested in.
Oh, cool.
That we are not watching.
Can we do a bonus...
Maybe we will after this is all done.
Years later?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be 48.
Yes.
Remember that Harold and Maude film?
Is that how you sound when you're 48? Notes on a Scandal?
Notes on a Scandal. We are going to be watching my number 446 favorite film of all time, director Richard Eyre's 2006 film, Notes on a Scandal. So, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Tell me about Notes on a Scandal.
Notes on a Scandal is about an older teacher, a bit of a curmudgeon.
Mm. A spinster?
Yes. Spinster, strict. She, yeah. And a new teacher, nice young, spry, attractive young lady coming in to the school. And shenanigans ensue. If you can call them shenanigans. I know it's a little more lighthearted than I think is the situation, but I'm going to call them shenanigans because I'm going to keep it vague for the audience.
Okay.
Shenanigans ensue. And there's a lot of deceit, a lot of lying, a lot of confusing emotional
manipulation
and trauma. And then the movie ends. And I do actually want to keep it vague for people because spoilers at the end of my review.
Yeah, we'll do spoilers and we'll let you know when we're going to get into spoilers.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I was just going to say that people should watch this.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. Just straight to it? You think it's worth watching?
Absolutely. I think... In fact, should we just say spoilers? Because it's kind of hard to talk about this without spoilers.
Is there anything we can say before we get into spoilers?
The things I would say, the positives and negatives, as summarized as possible. The negatives are it's terrible filmmaking and terrible editing.
Huh.
Terrible. Terrible editing.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Because maybe you'll sway me, but I do not think the editing is terrible.
Oh, well, there you go. And then the acting and the storytelling is phenomenal.
The performances are
I can't even.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
Across the board, very well performed.
Yeah, even the kids.
And you don't like kids.
I don't like kids in movies generally, and even the kid, every single one of those kids, especially the person, I'm not going to use the offensive term, the person who is mentally handicapped.
The kid who has Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
He has Down syndrome.
Down syndrome, and there's nothing wrong with that.
There is not.
Yes. Every single actor in this film is great.
Yeah.
Great. But the editing is choppy and all over the place. The direction, yeah.
Oh, go on.
The direction, the way they filmed, I don't know what the word would be. It's not the editing, but the shot, the composition.
Shot composition,
the choices that they made were bland visually. It felt more like a soap opera, which maybe that's what they were going for. If that is what they were going for, then fine. But it just felt choppy. It felt amateur, the way they filmed it. And I know that, from what I understand, in England, they care far less about visual than they do about the story and the acting. Like, if you look at, like, The Office, for example, the original British Office looks like dog shit.
Well, that was a very low-budget, independent production.
Right. And it feels like almost every British film I've seen feels like that, where it's like, guys, can you try to make it look visually interesting? Like, I know this is apples and oranges, but Fight Club. What's his name?
David Fincher.
David Fincher. You don't like him?
No, I like David Fincher.
David Fincher, I really like that he has a visual style.
Very distinct.
Yes.
Yes.
Tarantino has a visual style.
Yeah.
And then to take it a little less, like Wes Anderson, I cannot stand watching his movies, but when a Wes Anderson film
comes up, you know
it's a Wes Anderson film. I'm going to go in not less of extreme or less of an extreme. I'm saying what's his name for someone I shouldn't. Spielberg.
Yeah, don't say what's his name.
Yeah, not going to say
he has a very distinct style as well.
He does, but it is less abrasive.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
It's less in-your-face style.
Yeah. It's a much more subtle style, but is a style nonetheless.
He has a certain way of lighting things. He likes oners.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not terribly in-your-face choices.
I would never be able to pick out who directed this.
Fair. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Not every filmmaker has to be a quote-unquote auteur.
Right. For me, this movie would have been crazy elevated if they had decided on a visual, if they tried to tell the story visually. They didn't tell it. The score was fantastic.
Great score.
Oh yeah. My god, when the music was ratcheting up, especially in the beginning, I could feel that,
before we even know what's going on.
Yeah, you could feel something fucked up's about to happen. But visually, it was just so flat and boring and choppy to me.
See, I'm of two minds.
Okay.
No, I'm of one mind. Okay. I like it.
Okay.
And I will disagree on one point and agree with the other, but... Okay, I will agree that the editing is choppy.
Yeah.
But it is intentional.
Purposefully.
It is purposefully choppy, and it was a choice that they made, and I like it. It was intentionally disorienting, the way it was edited.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And I totally get not liking it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying you're wrong in it just not working for you, but I quite like the choice. I feel like it worked on me. And then as to the style of the filmmaking in general, not just the editing, the shot composition,
mm-hmm.
I also liked quite a bit. I think that it was not flat at all.
Mm.
It had a very naturalistic style about it, generally speaking. Sometimes it drifts into some more artful territory, but a lot of it is kind of handheld. It feels like not quite documentary style, but somewhat voyeuristic. We're just watching these people.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And then when they do get into some more artful, stylistic sequences, I like a lot of when Judi Dench's character, the older teacher, is giving narration. It's what she's writing in her diaries. It becomes vaguely dreamlike, especially the sequence where the younger teacher's hair falls on her her lap. It's I think it's lovely. No, I quite like the style, actually.
There's just something about it where when I watched it, I could feel like in the hands of a more focused director. I don't know. There was something about the way it was filmed and the editing that it just annoyed me. It felt amateur.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like if you gave me a budget and you told me what this story was, I could make that film. If I was the director, yeah, fuck you. I could do it. Yeah. What's the director's name? Let me email this bitch.
Richard Eyre.
Yeah, Richard. Richard Eyre.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Richard. Richard, why don't you let a real filmmaker, put this together? Regardless of that, for me, it just didn't work. I didn't like that. I didn't like the way it filmed. I didn't like the way it was edited. However, I think that really is a testament to the story and the acting, because I'm very interested in what was happening.
You want to just get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Spoilers for Notes on a Scandal, which Aaron recommends, y'all should see.
Yeah. Even people that aren't like film buffs, if you're... Okay, before we get into spoilers, if you're not a film buff, just hang on for about 10 to 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes when shit hits the fan.
Okay. When shit hits the fan, and you'll know when it does, when shit hits the fan, you're going to be like, you're going to be enraptured by it.
And spoilers starting now. Aaron, how does shit hit the fan?
All right. So, not Judi Dench.
Cate Blanchett
is... Fuck.
She is fuck.
She does fuck. Okay. So, Cate Blanchett's character is married to an older man. She has two children, one of which has Down syndrome. The other one's, what, 16, 17?
She's about 15.
About 15, okay. And then Judi Dench is a spinster. She's alone. She's a very lonely person. She's not very liked, but is respected.
That's right. She's a iron fist type of teacher.
Right.
No bullshit.
Not an ounce. And then... Cate Blanchett's character meets a young stud.
How young, Aaron?
15.
Yes, that's right, 15.
And fucks him.
That's right.
For a long time, apparently. A couple months, it seems like.
A few months.
They're having an affair.
Judi Dench, students, yeah.
Right. Judi Dench finds out. And instead of telling somebody like she should, she blackmails her for her attention, essentially.
But not outright blackmails her.
Implies it, right? It's very subtle.
I don't even say implied early on.
Methodical?
It's manipulative. She's like, I'm not going to tell anyone. It's okay. I'm here for you. Mm. She's not like, hey, I'm going to keep this secret for you, so you better No, it's all very, you know, friendly. Like,
it
hey.
Feels like it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's all by her design, of course.
Yes. So there, basically the lies and the deceit continue to intertwine until it can't anymore. Until it hits a boiling point where, like, eventually this is going to end poorly.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of Breaking Bad in that... Yeah, I know. And that there was a certain point in Breaking Bad where you had to have been like, this isn't going to end well.
Episode one.
Fair enough. But let's say, for me, it was like season one. I was watching it, and then after season one, I was like, oh, there's really no going back here. We're in the shit forever.
Yeah.
And this movie had that. As soon as the shit hits the fan, I'm like, oh, this is there's no turning. You can't talk your way out of this.
Can't make this go away. You this cannot. Can't be good.
No. And it does a really good job of just ratcheting up the tension and feeling like, someone make the right decision, please, before this gets out of hand, which it does. It gets way out of hand. And I just the performances.
Mm.
And we I know that, this is pedophilia, rape?
Yeah, statutory rape.
Statutory rape. I don't think I've seen statutory rape done so tastefully.
Oh.
Did I fuck up? Did I make the wrong soundbite? Am I canceled in the future?
No, but I am going to make that a soundbite.
That's fair. Let's make that the tagline to the title.
Of Notes of a Scandal. It'll be, on the next Blu-ray issue cover. Yes. Aaron Chase. Never before has statutory rape been done so tastefully.
But you know what I mean when I say that. That, no. Like, the actor... Then that's a big part of that's the kid. The actor that they got for that was... Because he looks young. He looks... Yeah. He could be 15. Probably 18.
I would like to think 18.
I really hope that they made him 18. Because he does some shit in this movie where I'm like, yeah, this is...
He kisses an older woman.
Passionately.
Passionately.
Yes. And he was able to present himself just mature enough.
Ooh, he rides that line.
Right. Of, like, you can see a woman, an older woman, being charmed by it. In a weird way, in a if there's something wrong with her and a bunch of other shit, and they really, I didn't know, like, what the movie did really well was have her husband be so old.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't address it that they. I think Judi Dench brings it up like once.
She brings it up once or twice. She brings it up a couple times, and he does after he spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Finds out.
Yes.
About the affair.
Even before when she comes and when she meets him.
Oh yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm old. I bet you weren't expecting that. All right, yeah. Let's move on. It did it so fast where it felt for me like, oh yeah, I acknowledge you are old. This is kind of weird. Whatever. It did,
but not so old that it's creepy,
right?
She's older too. She's like pushing 40. He's pushing 60. She's pushing 40. He's in his late 50s.
Yes, it. You know when in movies when a thing needs to get brought up later, and then they hold a shot on it. And it's like, hey, there's a gun under this bed. There's a gun under there. Don't forget that there is a gun under there.
And then all you can think about for the rest of the film is the gun under the bed.
Exactly.
I'm like, well, when is that going to come up?
And they did it beautifully.
They didn't linger.
Not at all. You acknowledge it. You're aware. It was the casting, the acting, and I'll give this the filming. I'll give them that. The story, the visually, just not interesting to me, but the way they told the story beautifully until the end.
End gets a little messy.
Does get messy.
The end does get messy, and that's a big reason why it's a little low on my list. I feel like the first two-thirds...
Yeah.
Are magnificent.
They're really great.
And even the filmmaking and editing. I think magnificent. Grade A stuff. It would be much higher on my list. And the end, they don't like completely fumble the ending.
It's fine.
But it that's it. It's kind of, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, 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 wonderful. It's fine.
Yeah.
The ending is important. You want to stick your landing. And they don't quite.
They don't. You know when Olympic gymnasts, they do the flips, they do everything perfect, and then they hit the ground and there's a little bit of a stumble and you're like, I totally respect everything you did, and this is not looking down on you. You're clearly very talented. This is good, but you stumbled, bitch.
You stumbled. Get bronze.
Yeah. That was how I felt. There was a certain point, I think it was when she finds the diary.
That is the point, exactly the point, yeah, where it becomes, it's convenient.
Yeah.
She like, oh, she finds the crumpled up piece of the diary in the trash can. Judy Dench just left it there.
Yeah, that's what people do with their diaries. They crumple them up in the trash can.
Yeah, well, it's a little nasty piece of the diary.
Moments of the diary is pretty nasty.
Most of it is.
Yeah,
it was pretty. But she doesn't think so.
You know, Judy Dench is crazy in this movie.
She is. She's phenomenally insane.
But it's a testament to the British style of storytelling. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
yeah, pray tell.
They're just... We were talking about it before the film started. They care about the craft. You can feel that this was not a... there was heart put into... They cared about what they were making.
I find a lot of English performers, British performers... Yeah, they put in their A game no matter what they're doing.
You know what? I'm sorry I'm bringing up comedy here, but British actors are similar to American comedians to me. And I'm saying top tier of both.
Mm-hmm.
I think that American stand-up comedy is very pure. There's something about it where you can feel the top of the top, the best of the best, give a shit. And you can feel that amongst their actors. Whereas American actors, sometimes you're like, what? Okay. I love Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Love him. Let's be real. He's not exactly a... You know what I mean? He's considered our top actor. He's
no, Aaron.
Okay.
No.
Is, no, but that's is there, not. Is there an equivalent to a Dwayne Johnson in England? Is there a box office smash guy who doesn't give
Jason
a fuck?
Jason Statham.
But he's like a... Not American, but he's... I look at him as American.
Yeah, but he's very British.
He's super British.
He's very British. No. The better example... If we're going to be comparing people to Judi Dench, Cate Blanchett, and Bill Nye, let's not get The Rock in there. Let's get someone like Sam Rockwell or sure. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
But those are all great actors.
Yeah!
But, okay, no.
Yeah, I thought we were comparing the best of the best.
Okay, I'm saying... But they're... Fuck, how do I put this? Because you're more better at movies. Or movie talk. Cate Blanchett is a household name amongst the English. Is that fair?
I'd say worldwide. She's well-renowned. Lord of the Rings. Yeah, she's in a lot of great stuff.
I'm trying to make this make sense to your feeble brain. Your
brain's
so
know
feeble.
Who Judi Dench is.
I think you're in movie world. The average person does not.
Of course they do. If for nothing else, James Bond...
They wouldn't know that that's Judi Dench.
If they saw her, they... No, whatever.
Regardless, my point is...
Okay, what's the point? I'm a little confused.
America's good at blockbusters. We're good at the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like...
That's what sells. That's our biggest product. Film-wise.
Right.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. doesn't... He's weird in that Iron Man has transcended him in a weird way, but... Fuck me.
No, thank you.
Paul Rudd.
Okay.
Okay. This example's falling apart. Paul Rudd is a fine actor. He's fine.
Yeah, no, he's fun. He's nice guy. He's charismatic. Fun.
Yeah, charismatic actor. But he is not into the craft of acting. I don't think. The vibe, I don't... You know what I mean?
Okay. I'll go along with it.
Whereas, is there a British fuck? Jason, fuck out. Fuck you. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Basically, there's something about British actors where they seem to care about the art form more than American actors. I don't know what the fucking point is. What am I saying?
What are you saying?
I'm saying this movie's really good. The actors are really good. The story is very, very good. The landing was not perfect, but I would totally watch it again.
Yeah, it's not like they like, oh,
yeah,
like
yeah,
at the very end, you're just like, oh, it didn't, like, sometimes, some movies, they yeah. end, and you're like, you had me for so long, mm-hmm. but then it ended, and the way you ended it, I just no longer...
Give a shit.
Yeah, I don't care.
It makes the rest of the story null.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't want to rewatch that, because I know where it's going, and it's stupid.
Yeah.
This is not that.
It does not do that.
It is not that. It doesn't. You know, we've talked about it enough. Doesn't quite stick the landing, it's an okay ending.
Yes.
It's okay. Yeah.
I would say that I would highly, highly suggest people watch it. I think this is going to go up there. This is probably my one of my favorites.
From the list so far?
100% one of my favorites. I think you would agree based off of my reaction to it. You always have to...
Oh, yeah. You were so invested.
When I found out... When I saw her sucking that 15-year-old kid's dick...
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a story for me. This is the one I need to watch. But when the realization that she's having sex with the student, from the moment you realize... It was a little slow. Mm-hmm. At first, I was like, what the fuck is going on? In that British style of speaking, I had to get used to. As soon as the plot starts, as soon as you're like, oh, this is what the movie's about? Okay, yeah, I need to see what happens. That's how I felt.
And it's definitely worth a rewatch.
Yeah,
actually. I've seen this, like, this is probably my third time seeing it. And, yeah, that first time, that you miss a few things.
Yeah.
And it's not like, some films, they're made in such a way where they're just wonderful to rewatch because you're picking out all these little things that the director left behind. Goodfellas is a great rewatch. This isn't quite that. No. There's only a couple little things, but it's... Even after that, third time seeing it, I didn't necessarily notice anything new this time, but it was just as engaging as ever. Because of the performances, because of the story, it rings true. It gets a little melodramatic, especially towards the end.
Yeah.
The acting becomes a very big, but they sell it.
They do. I guess there's not much else to say about it.
No.
Other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Notes on a Scandal. Dwayne Rock Johnson.
No, I think this is one of the first films you've shown me that a film auteur as yourself and a layman as myself could both enjoy. Without a doubt.
Nice.
Like, I think it's fair to say, to the average person, I'm a pretentious fuck, but within, you surpass me in pretension in film, I'd say.
And amongst film folk... Yeah. I am nowhere near as pretentious as I could. Right. I mean, that's the sad part.
It's crazy.
As you'll see based on my list, like,
there's a lot of schlock.
There's a lot of stupid stuff on here.
Near
Dark is wonderful. Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar. But I think that when we watch these movies, there's a lot of me has to think about it like, all right, whoever listens to this podcast in the future, if you're a film person, I think that my recommendation kind of changes based off of that. Film person versus just average moviegoer, anybody can watch this and be like 100% engaged.
Know what you're getting into. Character drama.
Yeah.
With some fucked up shit.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing about the fucked up shit. I think the other thing that made it, that took the air out of it.
Okay.
When she was like, I could get 2 years. I was like, bitch, you should be getting like 20. You raped a 15-year-old is what you did.
Statutory rape.
You statutory raped a 15-year-old is what you did. So like, in America, I think the stakes were lowered for... When on the newspaper, when the woman's reading, she got 10 months. No, okay.
Big whoop.
Yeah, you'll be fine. In America, she would have been facing far more, I think.
This is based on a book, and the author of the book, I can't remember the teacher's name. You remember in the I think it was late 90s, that big scandal.
She got her... She's pregnant. The one that got pregnant?
Yeah. And then eventually, after she got left jail, she married the kid. Yeah.
That is one of those weird things of like, oh, God. I'm sorry. Get ready.
Oh.
That's one of those weird things of like... No, we're going to talk about that after the podcast.
Okay. Because it has nothing to do with movies. We're going to hold off on that. But yeah, that was the inspiration for the book. Big surprise.
Yeah.
The book ending, a little different.
More time?
No. The very ending is different.
Oh. Oh yeah, the very ending felt goofy to me. It was like, I know what you're implying, but it's
yeah,
weird.
That's not in it. Yeah. It ends with the two of them still
fucking scissoring. My bad.
Yeah, scissor.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's where we're gonna leave this one off on. Jesus. Judi Dench and Cate Blanchett scissoring. Don't come here for that because you're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah.
But thank you, Aaron, for watching notes on a scandal
Thank
with
you
me.
For showing me.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I loved it.
We got a banger of a movie.
Yes, bangers.
Bangers and mash.
I was gonna also say a reference to that.
Well, go ahead.
No, bangers and mash from Get Him to the Greek.
I thought that was just a dish, like a food, bangers and mash.
Till next time, Bruce.
Till next time, Aaron.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.